My goodness gracious life, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, Dave can preach what he preached, really, because some of you that don't know Dave, some of you are new here, but for those of you that don't know Dave, I met Dave about a little over 10 years ago, and when I met him, he had a terrible, terrible, incurable disease, and he was born with it, and he'd been to the finest doctors. I mean, they'd all checked him out, and he'd been gone to these doctors for years, and he was a computer science engineer for Nortel, so he had a good job making plenty of money, so he had access to good doctors, but nobody could help him. I happened to go to a Plano conference to teach over there one night, and Dave was there. And I made a statement like this. Now, this is the God I serve. I said, I don't care what you have. If you'll do what I tell you from God's word, I guarantee the King of the universe will heal you. And of course, Dave, he's like all the rest of us. He turned and looked at me and says, you can't guarantee God will do anything. And I said, I can. God will do exactly what he said in the word. He's limited himself on earth to the word. And so I said, I guarantee, son, if you ever get a hold of, and you notice he talked a little about redemption. I told him, I said, you've already been redeemed from this curse. Jesus already paid the price. You just don't know it. I said, when you learn that he's already paid the price, it's already paid for, and we start claiming that by faith, I guarantee this sickness that you've had on your body all these years will go away. And he had a problem with that, like most people. But he don't have a problem with it anymore because he got healed. You know, I mean, just like Jack Butler sitting right there laughing as I'm telling these things. When Jack, he was a Baptist also. And when Jack, hold up your hand, Jack, so everybody see you. Okay, there's Jack. He just happens to be a doctor himself, you know. So, you know, he's not like he's a dummy. You know, most people don't ever get to be a doctor if they're a dummy, you know. So Jack's not a dummy. He's a very brilliant man. But he had a problem with his back, and he didn't have a clue what caused it. And so Rosemary sent him out here to us, and I told Jack, I said, you got a sin in your life, and that's what's causing your back problem. And he had a problem with that, you know, because he'd been raised in a Baptist church. I told him, you get rid of the sin, then once you get rid of the sin, then I will pray for you in faith, and I guarantee my God will heal you. And you didn't get to the car that day, did you, Jack, till your back trouble went away. And so he's been healed ever since. Well, Jack come back in, and after he got healed, and he saw God do that little miracle. Of course, maybe that was just a coincidence, I see. So, you know, that's what some people would say. Well, yeah, you prayed, but just a coincidence. But then he come back in, and he had a big old tumor on the back of his hand. I said, how long you had that, Jack? He said, 40 years. 40 years. I said, well, how would you like for God to take it off? He said, I'd love it. So I said, now, you have to believe with no doubt in your heart. None. God don't allow no wavering whatsoever. So I said, I'm going to make sure that your sins are repented of. Then we're going to take a verse, we're going to stand on it, and then I'm going to pray in faith, and you got to believe from this moment on that that thing's gone. And he said, I can do that, Thurman, because he saw his back healed. He knew he'd had back trouble a long time. Now his back was healed. So we prayed, and I said, Jack, I want you to thank the Lord that thing's gone. He looked at his hand, the big old tumor still up there, been there 40 years. He said, Lord, I want to thank you that tumor's gone. And he walked out the door. Next Sunday he came in, I said, how's the tumor? He said, it's gone. I said, well, praise God, let me see it. He walked around and handed his hand. I said, Jack, you're lying, it's still there. He said, no, you said I had to see it gone. He said, it's gone. Now see, this is real faith. If you get a hold of this. So anyway, the next week, every week, Jack, he's a businessman too. He travels a lot, so he's not here every Sunday. So he's here every Sunday or two or three Sundays or whatever. But anyway, every time he was here, I would say, Jack, how's the tumor on your hand? He said, it's gone. I said, well, let me see it. And he'd hold it out there, and I'd say, okay, it's still there. But he said, it's gone. You prayed, it's done, it's gone. We go through this for how many months, Jack?
About nine
total months. I asked him that question. One day he comes, I said, how's the tumor? He said, oh, it's gone. And I said, let me look at it. He held his hand out, and I said, glory to God, it really is gone. I started jumping up and down, screaming. He said, well, Thurman, what are you so excited for? I've been telling you for 10 months. It's been gone. You see what I mean? So when you believe, it happens. Is that right, Jack? So if you don't believe miracles happen, what do you get from God?
Nothing.
Oh, boy. Isn't that terrible? Now then, today, One of the most difficult lessons that we all have to learn is something that God laid on my heart that I want to talk about today. This is the toughest thing you'll ever do in your life. Even as a Christian, it should be the easiest, but it's not. I know very few people that walk in what I'm going to talk about today. Very few. But all of us should be there. Every one of us should be there. I want you to think with me, as we go to the Old Covenant, which we have been talking about for a while until we've gotten into 1 Corinthians. We've been through about 10 chapters of 1 Corinthians. But in the Old Covenant, we look at all the things God told us to do. And He had a list of them, didn't He? There was a long list of things we're supposed to do. Now then, under the Old Covenant, the Lord made some awesome promises, which we don't believe, but He said over and over and over in the Old Covenant, if you will obey me and do how many things? Do everything I command you, I, God, will take how much sickness away from you? Oh, isn't that a wonderful statement? So if God said in His book, in His word, under the Old Covenant, that if you will obey me and do everything I say, I, God, will take all sickness away from you. Now then, if He said that, how many Christians under the New Covenant, we have a better covenant, how many sick people should we have under the New Covenant? Yeah. We should have zero sick people. That's right. Even under the Old Covenant, if we could do what He said, how many sick people should we have? None. None. There should not be a single sick person. But the church, the world for sure, has no clue what I'm talking about right now. And I've come to realize most of the church don't know this either. Just like Dave, he's trying his best to get across to you that by what Jesus did in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you, as well as everybody else in this world, has been redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been redeemed. It's already a done deal. But just like Dave said, I don't know if you picked up on it, you don't believe it. That's what the problem is, right, Miss Jackie? When we believe the Word of God and we get it to pass from here to here, that's when we can pray and get a lump off of your hand that's been there for 40 years, right, Jack? We have to do it God's way. But the world is out there telling us this is not true. And most people believe it because they've either heard a preacher preach that it don't work or something, but nobody learns these principles that I'm going to talk about today except from one place, God's Word. Then you have to realize, am I going to believe this stuff? Jack, since I'm talking about him, using him as a guinea pig today, since Jack came here as a good Southern Baptist. You'd been in a Baptist church all your life, right, Jack? Yeah, I mean, he's just like me. I was in the Southern Baptist Convention in the Baptist church for 65 years of my life before I left and went to non-denominational church, which we started this one, non-denominational. But now then, I teach just exactly what God's Word says, and it works, doesn't it, Jack? Now then, not only has Jack been healed of several things, like the tumor and the back troubles and all those kind of things, but he's learned how to pray in faith and see God answer lots of your prayers for other people, haven't you, Jack? Yes, isn't that wonderful that you don't have to find Thurman to get him to pray for you? You know, you can do it yourself. And it's the same thing for all of us. But there is some requirements God wants us to do. And He give us a new commandment, just like under the Old Covenant, He had all these commandments. If you will keep all of my commandments, which is impossible, nobody could keep all those commandments because there were so many of them. But he told us, if you will keep all those commandments and do what they say, then I, God, will take all sickness away from you and you will not be sick. Well, under the New Covenant, He give us one commandment. You would think we could all get it. We only got one. And it's in John 13:33-35. John 13, 33 through 35. We're going to go to the book of John. John 13, 33 through 35. Little children, yet a little while and I am with you. You shall seek me and say unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come. So now I say to you, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you. So here he even put it in there, didn't he? I give you a new commandment. I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. What is so difficult about that? What is it that makes it so hard for us to keep one commandment? That's all we got. One, to love one another. Now, then, if under the old covenant, God said if we keep all those things, he'll take all sickness away from us. If we just walk in love, how much sickness do you think we'd have in the church today? There would be none. There would be none. Now, then, I'm going to tell on Dave again, since Dave, y'all all know him. He was already up here. I like to tell on other people. I don't like to tell on myself, you know. We all already know too many things about me the way it is. But Dave, after we got Dave healed the first time, whenever he came here and we started standing on the word and calling him, calling God in remembrance of his promises and started praying for Dave and everything, and Dave started getting well, Dave finally got healed. Now then, if you've never seen his testimony, we have a DVD back there called Sickness is Satanic Oppression. Sickness is Satanic Oppression. It has many, many pictures of what Dave looked like while we were praying for him. And so you'll get to see where he had to come from to what he had to go to get there, because Dave had to stand and fight a battle of faith that's beyond what most people can stand. But he did it. And today, as you saw, he does not have any scars hardly left on him. He has no marks, he's no sores, no running sores, but he was awful. But when we got Dave healed, right after we got Dave healed, not too long after, he and his lovely wife, and maybe they didn't have any children yet, I don't know, but they might have had John. His in-laws live in Canada. His mother-in-law and father-in-law lived in Canada, so they took the truck and they wanted to drive to Canada to see them. Well, they got up there, and they was only there 2 or 3 days. Now, how many of y'all know that there ain't never been a son-in-law good enough for my daughter? Y'all ever heard that? Ain't never been a son-in-law good enough for my daughter. You know, that's just the way life is. That's, you know, so when they get up there, and since his mother-in-law is now deceased, I guess I can talk about her a little bit if I want to. At least she can't come get me. But anyway, Dave got into a little bitty scrap with his mother-in-law. A couple little things they didn't agree with. Now, I know that if you're really a born-again Christian, and both of you are born-again Christians, we would never have an issue here, would we? Is that true? I mean, if your son is fixing to marry a beautiful Christian girl, or if your daughter's fixing to marry a handsome young Christian boy or whatever, and if you're a Christian, you should be so happy. You know, you ought to be so thankful that God has sent them a loving, caring Christian mate. You should be doing everything in your power to walk in love with this couple. Because, you know, when a couple gets married, they don't just marry each other. You marry the whole family. Is that right? I know. I got married twice in my life. One time to my first wife, which deceased after 41 and a half years. And then I got married to Cheryl 10 years ago. And I guarantee the only problems that Cheryl and I ever had was never between me and her. It was always something to do with family, one way or the other. I mean, I had no problem with her. She had no problem with me. But between my kids and her kids and my in-laws and her in-laws, we had a few little scraps. And the dog. Yeah, her dog was the first fight we ever had. The dog tore up the carpet. I locked her in the house thinking she was outside. And she wasn't, and she tore the carpet up. And so when I got all huffy and fussing about that night when we came in, Cheryl said something, and I said, you love that crazy dog more than you do me. She said, well, I've had that dog longer than I've had you. So y'all can laugh and say, hey, that should never happen to a pastor and his wife. But it did, didn't it, honey? Yeah, I mean, we're human beings, and let me tell you that me and Cheryl, especially me, I stepped out of my love walk. Now, am I supposed to step out of my love walk? No, I am definitely not supposed to step out of my love walk. Is Cheryl supposed to step out of her love walk? But did she? Of course, we both did. You know, the thing about it is, with Dave, since he had had this sickness and had it all of his life, and we got him healed and went up there healed, and he got into a little scrap with his mother-in-law, I don't know what it was about, not much of anything significant, I'm sure, but some little something they didn't agree on. So I'm telling you that Dave called me after he got there about one day, and he said, Pastor, you got to pray for me. My sickness is coming back upon me. Now, why do you think that sickness, which we had prayed off of him completely, came back? Because what did Dave do? He broke this commandment. He got out of his love walk with his mother-in-law. In other words, God gave him one command, didn't he? Love. And did he continue to do that? No, he got out of that love walk. So as soon as he stepped out of that love walk, he opened the door to the enemy. Satan, if we walk in love, Satan cannot touch us, the scripture says. But if we don't walk in love, Satan has an open door to come in and torment you or your children. So anyway, I told Dave, I said, Dave, you got out of your love walk with your mother-in-law. He said, I did. How'd you know that? I said, because your sickness is coming back. It's real simple. I said, God gave you how many commandments under the new covenant?
One.
Is that right? And what did he say do? What's the commandment? Love, right? Love. Now, I know that's only for me and Cheryl. The rest of y'all don't have to keep that, right? No, that's for all of us. That's for every one of us. So anyway, Dave repented to his mother-in-law. We started praying for him, and it only took us 3 days to pray it off of him. Only 3 days. And after 3 days, he called me and said, Pastor, I'm good, everything's okay. I said, okay, great. I said, now Dave, whatever you do, I don't care what your mother-in-law says to you. I don't care what she does to you. I don't care if she walks up, slaps you in the face and tell you, you ain't good enough for her daughter. I said, you just walk out there in love. Don't you get out of that love walk or you're going to be sick again. I mean, see, people don't understand these things. If people understood these things, they would not get out of their love walk. And then we got all kinds of people that in the church that are sick and afflicted and crippled up and everything else that have never walked in love in their life and have no idea why I am like I am. Well, let me tell you don't have to be like that. You know, if you walk in that love walk, God will bless you. Well, they stayed up there for about 3 weeks. Now then, oh my goodness gracious, to stay in the same house with your mother-in-law. You're the new son-in-law, and you know this boy can't be good enough for my daughter. But he's married to her anyway. And that's what happened so many times. And so they got into another little scrap just before Dave left. Little disagreement. By the time he got home, he was sick. When he walked in that door, I said, uh-oh. I said, you got out of your love walk again, didn't you? He said, why, yes, I did, Pastor. I said, have you been on your face and repented for this yet? He said, well, I think I have. I said, well, let's get down here and do it again. So we repented and we prayed every day. This time it took us a month to pray that off of him. But guess what? He learned a lesson the second time around. He learned a lesson to walk in love with his mother-in-law. And as far as I know, in the last 10 years, they've had 5 babies since then, and it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that that good-looking man that her daughter was married to was able to produce some really beautiful children. And everybody loved them. Isn't that something? That's amazing how this all works. But they'd never had any more major issues, as far as I know. So in those last nearly 10 years, guess how much sickness Dave has had upon his body? None. See, he learned to walk in love. Now then, if you've never heard these kind of things from God's Word, most people have no clue that when you get out of your love walk, it's going to make something terrible come upon you or your children. But it does. You know, God said it in His Word. Now then, if He tells us, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In other words, He gave us a pretty good description there of what love is. He says, as I have loved you. I mean, that's the awesome love that God has, isn't it? Let's see what verse 35 says. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now then, if I'm walking in love, in fact, like I said yesterday, we had a beautiful wedding here, and we got Ronnie and Catherine all married up. Now, both of them had been married before. You know, it's not like this couple over here on the front row. They're fixing to have their marriage, and neither one of them been married. They're both young people that's never been married, so they've got some real things to learn in the future, you know, by never being married. But Ronnie and Catherine had both been married before, many years ago. But it's amazing when I have the privilege to sit down, well, like I did with Ronnie and Catherine, and talk to them several hours before they got married. She confessed to me, I know now why I couldn't stay married. Because she said, I had never read the rules for marriage from God's Word. So I did exactly what I wanted to do, the way I wanted to do it, and it didn't care who it was. So she said, I never submitted to my husband. So by not submitting to her husband, the Word of God clearly says the wife was made for the husband. She's made to submit to the husband. She's made to take care of the husband. And the Scripture clearly says, and when we just talked about this here a while back, some people don't believe it's right to talk about sex in church, but let me tell you what, I talk about it a lot because I know it's one of the major issues in the church. Is that right? So I said, the Scripture clearly says the wife is to never withhold her sexual relationship with her husband, never. And the husband is never to withhold sex from the wife. The Scripture says the body of the man don't belong to him, it belongs to the woman, and the woman's body does not belong to her, it belongs to the man. And I said, there's so many women and men both, when they get married, if something goes amok, they don't like it, the first thing they do is withhold sex from the other one. And I said, that's not to be done ever between a man and a woman that are married in God's Word. Never. Now, so people don't understand this. They've never read the rules. So, you know, just like Catherine told me, she said, I didn't know that. She hadn't been married. I think she was married a couple of times maybe, but she couldn't make it. And she says, I now know why I couldn't. Well, I will have to say that after God brought Cheryl to me as in this church and He healed her, she had an incurable disease when I met her. I had no idea that day when I met her in Kinko's copy store and she wanted a copy of my granddaughter's testimony I was making. I didn't have copy machines here on site back in those days, so I had to have somebody do it for me. But I saw her, and that day when I saw her, she said, sir, she said, you've seen Jesus heal people? I said, oh, yes, young lady, I've seen Jesus heal thousands of people. She said, can I have one of those? I said, sure. And so I turned and handed it to her. When I looked at her, you know, I look her right in the eye, but do you know, right now, I'm looking Kim right smack in the eye, just as straight as I can. I can see her just kick her toe. I can see her plumb to the toe of her foot. You know that? I mean, your eye covers a lot of area, doesn't it, Scott? You can't just see her eyes. You see everything around her. Well, when I turned and looked at Cheryl, that day I looked her right straight in the eye. I didn't look at her nowhere else. And I said, young lady, you're a very beautiful woman. And she said, well, thank you, sir. And I turned and walked off. And she said, gee, what a nice man. He wasn't hitting on me. You know, most men, when they turn to look at a beautiful woman like her, they look down her bra, they look down at her hips, they look everywhere except in the eyes and say, wow, you're gorgeous. Would you like to go out with me? You know, if she's got any brains at all, what's she going to say? No, she knows where your interests are. You're not interested in her, you know, so you're interested in what she's got. So that's what people don't understand. But that's not walking in love. When you walk in love, you get these information from Jesus, and you do exactly what Jesus says. Now, if everybody could get a hold of the fact, just like yesterday, we had a whole lot of people in this house that I'd never seen before because they were family of Ronnie's and family of Catherine. I didn't know them. But like I told all them, I said, you know, when y'all get married, you need to learn to get along with all these people. You need to go away from here today thinking, I love all these folks. I love them. I'm going to love them, because you just attached yourself, a man and a woman just attached themselves to two families they're going to have to live with, and it may be 30 or 40, 50 years. You know that? It's going to be a long time. But you don't marry just a woman. A woman don't just marry a man. You marry a family. And if there's anything you want to do, you want to walk in love with that family. Who told us to walk in love? Who? Did the Lord tell us here to walk in love? Was that number? He didn't just say, oh, Kim, you know, if you would like to, I'd like for you to love everybody. Would you do that for me? Is that what he said? That's really not what he said.
Well, it's a commandment.
Oh, that's the big difference. You know, if I say, Kim, I would like for you to love all these people out here. And you say, well, you know, some of them, Thurman, is impossible to love. I said, then as your boss, and if I'm God, do I happen to be your boss?
Oh, yes.
You're not your own. You're bought with a price. So if he says, I command you to love all them people, what are you supposed to do?
I'm going to love them.
You better love them all. Guarantee it. Because when the master... We fail to realize who we are. As sons and daughters of the Most High God, He clearly says we are not our own, doesn't He, Jack? This body belongs to Him. He said you were bought with a price, the price of the blood of Jesus. So, Jane, you don't belong to you, do you? You belong to the Master, right, young lady? Yeah. And I can't think of another Master I'd rather belong to than Him, can you? I mean, He is great. I love Him. I love Him. Now then, let's go to John 14, let's start with verse 12 and go through 23. John 14, 12, and let's show you some things that if you'll walk in love, these are some of the things God said you can ask for or you can do. And these are just out of this world. John 14, 12 through 23. Look at this. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's Jesus, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, my goodness gracious, what kind of works did Jesus do since he walked in love with his Father? He was in a total love walk the whole time he was here. As he walked in love, what kind of power did Jesus have as he walked on this earth? He had all power, that's right. Could he control the weather? Could he control the storms?
Yeah.
Could he control the seas?
Yeah.
Could he command demons to leave?
Yeah.
Could he control sickness and disease?
Yeah.
What is it that he didn't have power over? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And look at what he just made you a statement. He says, if you walk in love and do what I say, then he says in John 14, 12, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, is that supposed to be us? Everybody in this room that's a believer in Jesus Christ, he's talking to you and me. Is he not? Yeah. So he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, in other words, stopping the storm, controlling the weather, commanding sickness and disease to leave, all these things, these works that I do, shall he do also. And then he even went greater and said, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I could, well, I guess I started to say, if I could just get to the same place that Jesus was, if I could just do the works he did. But you know, really, I stop and think, I have done greater works than Jesus. I remember when I was on GLC, and 95% of the world could turn on their TV if they had that satellite and get our program on GLC. 95% of the world. Do you know how many? That's about 6.5 billion people had the potential to turn their television on and listen to a teaching on how to walk in divine health. It's what I taught on God's Learning Channel for 10 years. I was on those channels 4 and 5 times a week for 10 years. And we saw hundreds of miracles and healings and all kinds of things that God did. And then, unfortunately, Al and Tommy got a little older, and they're not really able to run the station like they used to. They're getting older. And so they hired a young ex-Southern Baptist programmer or manager, And when he started listening to the shows, that Southern Baptist programmer didn't believe what this old Baptist preacher preached. So he took me off of the TV. That's why I'm not on there no more. Because if I teach exactly what's written in God's Word and they take me out, then, all I can say is, glory to God. I got to do it for 10 years. Is that right? Amen. Now then, what am I going to do with these people? Am I going to get mad at them or am I going to walk in love with them? Oh, I'm going to walk in love with them because I don't want to be sick. I could start talking about them, saying all kinds of bad things with them. I could say, that new young son-in-law, he ain't good enough for my daughter. Y'all know where I'm coming from? I know I had a daughter. And it was difficult. In fact, the boy that my daughter married back in those days, when I first met him, I thought, he's not the right one. And there ain't no way this boy ever going to marry my daughter. He ain't good enough for my daughter. But I wasn't the one making the choice. She made the choice. And so I went through with it. I didn't want to go through with it. Oh, I didn't want to go through with that. I did not like that. I did not want that boy to be my son-in-law. But I loved him anyway. You know what I mean? I loved him. I went through there. And of course, after my daughter got killed, I didn't have to worry about it. He left anyway, so I didn't have to put up with it. Poor guy, he left. That's a shame. But I still loved him through it all. I told him several times what he had to do from God's Word. But he never would listen to me. He wouldn't listen, So anyway, praise the Lord. That's all I can say. Praise God. But when we look at what the Lord says here, he says that we can not only do what he did, but we can do greater things than these that he done because I go unto my Father. Now then, let's stop and think a minute. What if we're not walking in love? Let's go back to the old covenant, and what if we're not walking in obedience to his word over there? He said, if you obey me, then I will take all sickness away from you. Is that what he said? He didn't just say, just because you speak these things, I'll take sickness away. He said, if you will speak them and obey them, then I will take all sickness away. So if the principle works like that, and we come over to the new one, and he says, walk in love, if I don't walk in love, guess what may very well come upon my body and overcome me? Some kind of sickness. It's just like Dave. It came upon Dave. But now after the first 3 days, we got Dave healed, and we come back, and after a few weeks, and he had it again, and it took us a month. Dave has learned since then, you stay in your love walk with everybody all the time. And if you do, you don't have to be sick. So I don't think Dave and his family have had hardly any sickness or no runny noses or nothing, very little. It's been an awesome thing. But Dave has learned that if something even approaches me to come upon me, the first thing he does, he don't even think about running to a medical doctor. He thinks just like I do, Lord, what did I do that didn't make you happy? Where did I step out of my love walk? And I guarantee if you stay in that love walk and obey this, you won't have to worry about sickness and disease. You can stand on the redemption from the curse and get healed just like Dave did. We got him healed, and I could not tell you. I have no idea the number of people in the last 20 years that I've seen miraculously healed, some of them instantaneously healed when they were prayed for, when they finally learned I have already been redeemed from the curse of the law. They don't know that. If they don't know that, they can't be healed. God does not do this just because. He does it because of his word. But he says in verse 13 and 14, let's look at verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now he said we could do greater things than he done. And then he turned that next verse and said, what could you ask for? What did he limit you to in that scripture? What can you ask for, son? That's a pretty big word, isn't it? I mean, anything? Do you think he's big enough to meet that criteria? I know he is. Yeah, he can do it. Can he, brother? I mean, God can do it. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. Let's go see. Verse 14 says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, one day I was looking at all this and I'm thinking, Lord, why did you, all these powerful things, why did you put them in there double? Why? I didn't understand. I knew there had to be a reason. God doesn't do anything just flippantly, does he? Then I got to looking one day. He called David. He said, David, David. Then I thought, well, that's strange. He called it. Why did he call him twice? And then I got over there one day. I was looking about Saul. And he said, Saul, Saul. And I got to looking. And every place when God started to speak to a man, he spoke twice. So I want you women to know, you know, that when you call your husband, don't just call him one time. Don't say, Jack, I want you to go to the store for me, because he didn't get it. Say, Jack, Jack. And then when he said, oh, yes, dear, what do you need? He said, oh, I want you to go to the store for me. Did you hear that? Yes, what did I say? Oh, repeat it for me one more time. I want you to go to the store for me. Okay, that's the way you have to do it. Because, I didn't understand this until one day on Dr. James Dodson's show. I was listening to it going to work one morning. And he's talking about what happens in the womb of every mother with a boy at, I think it's 23 weeks, I think it is, something like that. He said there is a right and left brain, and at 23 weeks, there is a chemical process that takes place in the brain of every male that God burns the link in two between the right and left brain on every male. It does not happen on the female, but it does happen on the male. He said, so therefore, all the females can do multitasking. I mean, a woman can do, she can be cooking, talking on the phone, taking care of the kids, and two or three other jobs at the same time and never miss a click. Women can do that. Don't ask a man to do that. It's impossible. He can't do that. You know, I mean, he can do only one thing. And if a man has, if he's working on the washing machine at home, he's got the washing machine box open. And so don't ask him to try to work on the dryer. Don't come in and ask him to do something because he's got the box open to work on the washing machine and he can't multitask. If you want to tell him something and you want him to remember it and you don't want to get upset with him, come up there and say, honey, I need you to do something for me. And she said, honey, honey. He said, oh, yeah, you're talking to me? She says, yes, okay, stand up, look him right in the eye and got his attention. And maybe love on him a little bit, you know, kiss him on the cheek a couple of times, something really to get him attention, and then say, I need you to go to the store and get me some eggs and milk. Oh, okay, okay. You want eggs and milk? Yeah. Okay, one more time. I want eggs and milk. Tell him at least two or three times. You need to learn this young lady early. It'll make your life go a whole lot better, I can guarantee. How many of you girls in here that have been married or still married know that you absolutely cannot get through to a husband's attention just by calling him one time? Do y'all all know that? You have to talk to him several times, right, young lady? Yeah, absolutely. See, there's a lady that's got a little wisdom on her, and she's got a husband with a little wisdom, but she said, absolutely, you got to talk to him. Absolutely. But see, that's the way we're made. We can't help it. So anyway, just like Dr. James Dodson said that day, he said, every woman knows already that every man was born with brain damage. If you don't believe it, just ask them. They'll tell you. You know, is your husband brain dead or is he brain damaged? Oh, yeah. Why? Because I have to tell him three or four times. You know, I tell him he's out there working on the car and I say, honey, would you run down the store and give me some milk and butter and eggs? And he says, oh, sure, I'll go get that as soon as I get through the car. And so he gets through the car, he comes in, sitting down drinking iced tea, and she says, well, where's my eggs and butter and milk? He says, you're what? She said, yeah, I told you when you was working on the car, you said as soon as you got through, you'd go to town and get me the eggs, butter, and milk. I did? I don't remember that at all. And then she gets upset with him. Is that right, Gracie? Is Michael the same way? Yeah, he's just like that too, huh? Yeah, sure we are. We're all, but that's a man is like that, so if you ladies will learn that we are like that, it'll make it much easier for you to stay in your love walk with your husband. Is that what you got to do? You got to stay in that love walk with your husband. If you don't realize that's the way he's made and God made him like that, you tell him to do something and you don't do it, then first thing you know, you think, well, what is this guy? He's not paying attention. So you kind of start storing up all of those things And after you get about to right here one day, he says something and you say something and you just blow up and you think, my goodness, can't you ever do anything right? I'll tell you and tell you to go do this. Now you don't listen to me. You don't love me. Now, have any of you girls ever, any of you guys ever heard the girls talk like that? I have. I've heard them talk like that, you know. But Cheryl, it's no problem anymore. She's learned, see, that I'm already brain damaged. So she works with me now. No problem. So she has to tell me 3 or 4 times. No problem. You know, but at first it wasn't that way. She didn't understand how I was made. She didn't understand how things worked. But God understood all this. Why do you think God told us to walk in love? Because when you walk in love, it makes no difference how many times you have to tell your mate something, do you still stay in love with them? Yes. You don't ever threaten them. Well, I guess if you don't like it, then I guess you can just get rid of me. No, you don't never do that. You don't never do that. And if you do that, the husband, he just sloughs it off and throws it away. Or the mother, whichever way it goes. Have you ever heard people that were married make that statement to the other one? Well, if I can't tell you, if you won't do what I tell you, I might as well just get rid of me, or let's just get a divorce. You ever heard people talk like that? Christian people talk like that? Sure. I hear it all the time. Let me tell you, that's not a word should ever come out of your mouth. If you're a Christian walking in love, you should never, ever, ever think about divorce. It is something that God hates, and he don't like it, and he don't want you to even talk about divorce. He wants you to walk in love. That's why he didn't just ask you to walk in love. He commanded you to walk in love. Did he not? He commanded you to walk in love. Now, look at the consequences of the things we can do as his children if we walk in love. What can I ask God for if I walk in love? Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to do? When you learn that and you walk in love all the time and there's an issue or something, and you just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need help right here in this area. And he just puts his arm right around you and says, oh, my dear, I'm glad you asked. I was waiting to help you, but I thought you wasn't going to ask. And the minute you ask, he helps you, doesn't he? He does. See, when you're walking in love, you can ask the Lord, if we walk in love, what kind of limitations did he give us? None. That's exactly right. It's just like the old covenant. If we obey him, there will be no sickness among us under the old covenant. Well, under the new covenant, it's even better. Let's go to verse 15. Let's see what he says next. If you love me, what am I supposed to do? Keep his commandment. Now then, what is his commandment?
Love.
It's only one. Isn't that a tough one? Walk in love. Now, you see, when I first started out today, I said, you know, it should be the simplest thing in the world we got to do. But this is almost impossible. Almost nobody believes that they can walk in love. Is that right? Are we supposed to walk in love? Is this some crazy book that I'm pulling this out of the air, or is this God's word right here I'm talking out of? It's God's word. If you love me, then he could say Thurman right there, Thurman, if you love me, then Thurman, you must keep my commandments. Or you can put your name in it, right? That's who he's talking to. Verse 16. Let's see what he says there in verse 16. And now that he's going to say what he's going to do if you do walk in love and keep his commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now then, if you walk in love and you abide in love, Jesus said he'll ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. What can you do once you get the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you? Ooh, there ain't nothing impossible then, is there, Jack? See, but you know, most people in church that I've been associated with in my life, they have no clue. In fact, I went to a Baptist church, like I said, 65 years of my life. And if there's anything the Southern Baptist Convention, at least the churches I went to, did not understand, it was how we could walk in love, and then how we could get these wonderful things from God, how we could get the Holy Spirit. And without him, you can't do nothing. I mean, you know, I can remember in Sunday school classes when I began to learn these things, and I tried to teach my classes about the power of the Holy Spirit and how to walk in love and all these things. I said, if you will do this, this is what can you can do and what can happen in your life. They turned me off. You know, I mean, Thurman, we got the Holy Spirit when we got saved. I said, no. Yeah, you got a Holy Spirit when you got saved, but you didn't get the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, you need to ask the Lord to do that. And if you're walking in love, he said, if you obey him, he said, I give the Holy Spirit to them that obey me. So if you don't obey him, you will never get this love walk. You'll never get this Holy Spirit. You'll never walk in the gifts of the Spirit. So you'll never walk in a really great place where God answers your prayer every time. How would you like to walk in a place so that every time you pray, God answers your prayer? Would you love that? So what do you got to do to make that happen? Yeah, amen. You got to walk in love. You got to obey him. But you know, when that guy comes up and grabs you by the shirt collar and punches you in the nose, is it difficult to walk in love, Jack? It's hard, but you can do it. The consequences is worth it, right? Yeah, I guarantee. So if somebody gets mad at you and punches you in the nose, it doesn't make any difference. You still walk in love. I had a guy one day when I was still in the engineering force, a guy walked in my office. He said, Thurman, I literally believe that if somebody walked in this room and you were standing up and they just reached over and grabbed you and punched you out and knocked you down and you fell over your chair and everything else, I literally believe that you'd look up and say, brother, I don't know what's wrong here, but let's get this right. I love you. He said, I believe that's what you'd do. I said, I guarantee that's what I'd do. He said, why? I said, because I hate being sick. I don't like being sick. And I know to walk in divine health and to have the power of the Holy Spirit, I have to walk in love. Is that what he said, Ro? I got to walk in love. Is that right? And I will pray the Father, Jesus is saying this now, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. If there's anybody I want to be with me forever, it's the Holy Spirit. If I got the Holy Spirit, there ain't nothing I can't do. Nothing. I can pray and ask the Father in Jesus' name to give me information, insight, knowledge, wisdom. I can build and design equipment. I can fly airplanes. I can build buildings. I can do anything I want to do because the power that's in me, all the knowledge and all the secrets of the universe are hidden in him, and he's in us. He's not far away, is he? That's amazing. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now then, does the world understand this? No, the world don't get it. Most of the church don't get it. You know why I think most of the church don't get it? Because they've never yielded to that love walk. I'm going to do things my way. No, you will never walk in that power like that. You got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. Use me for your glory. I will walk in love with my wife, my children, and everybody else. God, just give us one commandment. 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, I'm telling you, that's a great promise. That's a great promise. You know, I think every time I've had the privilege to hear God's audible voice, which has been many times, 30 or 40 times, I don't even know. But every time, it's getting so clear that when He does speak to me, when I hear the voice, I always look around to see if He's standing there, because He sounds just like He's right there beside me. And of course, one of the times that recently that I got a word from the Lord, it was so awesome, and I got such revelation from this. It forever changed the way I think. And it was over something so simple. My wife came in one day and told me she wanted a puppy. And I told her, no, you can't have one. I don't like a dog in the house. So she said, okay. Now, she didn't fuss at me. She never said anything. Now then, like I say, if men and women would learn how to walk according to God's word, you will never have a problem. But the average woman, even Christian women, come and pursue her husband for a puppy, and he tells her, no, she can't have it. Most of them start giving him a hard time. You don't love me. If you love me, you'd let me have a puppy. I mean, I've seen women do that. I see women belittle their husbands in front of other people. But she never said a word to me. She walked out, went to get a couple of her friends, and told them, said, I want y'all to pray with me. I want to go to Hebrews 4:16. I want to go to the throne of grace. I want to take Thurman up there, and I want us to ask God to soften his heart and make him more like Jesus so I can have a puppy. Now, if every woman in the world would learn how to pray like that, you could get your husband changed. Because, ladies, if you haven't figured it out yet, you can't change your husband. You can't change a woman. They can only be changed by God. So, and you can only get that done through prayer. So anyway, a couple weeks later, Cheryl came to me and said, honey, has the Lord spoken to you yet? I said, about what? She said, about Lily Scrivener. I said, who in the world is Lily Scrivener? She said, my new puppy. I said, well, no, he hasn't spoken to me. And if he does, the answer is still no. You can't have her. So she didn't say another word to me. She never belittled me. She never said anything. She just went and began to praise the Lord and thank him for making me more like Jesus so she could have a puppy. So a week later, I'm in my office right in there at 11:30 preparing for the Sunday service. And all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there looking at my computer screen, I hear the Lord say, son. And I immediately, it sounds so clear, I knew he was standing right beside me. And I looked around, didn't see nothing. I said, yes, Lord. And just as clear as a bell, he said, son, are you going to withhold from your wife what I've made special for her? I said, Lord, you made something special for Cheryl? He said, yes, son, a puppy. And he said, are you going to withhold it from her? I said, Lord, I'm meditating on this. I am talking. Ben, who am I talking to? God. I mean, how ridiculous is this, huh? But he does talk to us, doesn't he? He does, and he's talking to me. I'm one of his sons. Just like if you're a man, you're one of his sons. If you're a daughter, you're one of his daughters. He will talk to you. He has talked to me many times, but I'm sitting there meditating on this. Now, God, I'm talking. I ain't talking to just somebody who walked in the office. I'm talking to God. I mean, this ain't Dave or this ain't Jack or something. This is God. And he's asking me, am I going to withhold from my wife what he's made special for her? He's made her a puppy, and he gives me the option to still say no. Wow. Now that's, I hope you got that revelation. It really rattled my cage to think that God has given the man, there's no greater position on this earth than the husband and the father over a family. On earth, he's made you as a man the priest of your family. And he will not even overstep your authority without you letting him do it. Now that blew me away. That absolutely touched my heart beyond my wildest dream to think that God, the King of the universe, would still give me an option to say no to something he made special for my wife. And I said, Lord, if you've made Cheryl a puppy special, she can have it. I would never say no. So first of all, her prayers had moved upon my heart to soften my heart for me to say yes. You see what I mean? And I did. And so then I can't study no more. You know, I'm kind of lost it now. So I just close up everything, turn off my computer, and I go jump into bed, and I hit the bed. And just a few minutes later, Cheryl comes, jumps up on the bed. She says, well, has the Lord spoken to you yet? And of course, me being the old boy that I am, I said, about what? She said, my puppy. I said, yes, he has, just a few minutes ago. She said, and? I said, you can have it. So she jumped and run into the computer, printed off a print screen of a little bitty tiny 1.1 pound, 9 ounce, little bitty tiny girl about that big, and brought it in here and said, here's my new puppy. I said, you mean you'd already found this thing? She said, yes, I found it on the internet. So her and Pat went over Monday. That was Saturday night. Her and Pat went over Monday afternoon and picked up this little puppy. And this little puppy rode right here on Cheryl's arm for an hour and a half and didn't even move. And today she's nearly 4 or 5 years old, and she runs around, and even Dave likes her. We all love little Lily. You know, we watch over and take care because we all know she was special made by God for Cheryl. And, oh, well, yeah, Cheryl wanted me to tell that. For a man that would never even let a dog in the house, much less let one sleep on the bed, that little lady sleeps on the bed, and you would never believe where she sleeps. At night, when Cheryl comes and gets in the bed, she comes and crawls right up on my pillow and puts her feet on each side of my head and sleeps up like a crown on my head. She lays there and just sleeps all night and snores. Sometimes she even snores. Oh, she got that for me. Okay. Now then, what did God command me to do? What is my one and only commandment?
Love.
To walk in love. Now, was I in that love walk that I needed to be? No. Did her prayers change that? Yes. And now then, she has what her heart's desire because she did it God's way, and he moved on my heart. Just like he says in Proverbs, the Lord will move on our hearts and change our hearts. But he's the only one that can change your heart. Only one. Wow. Let's see, 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, the biggest word in the Bible, if. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. If we love him, we'll keep his words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How would you like to go through your whole life totally obeying God's word, knowing that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was right there with you everywhere you went, and that anything you ask for, nothing would be impossible? Is that a great promise, ladies and gentlemen? And that's what's available to us if we'll walk in love and do what he says. Then John 15, let's go to John 15, start with verse 2 through 17. We've got just a few more verses here about this love walk. John 15, 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, this is a scary verse. If you're not producing fruit for the kingdom, now I'm grateful to God that he's long-suffering and patient, aren't you? Because he clearly says right there, every branch. Are we the branches? Yes, we are. Every branch in me that beareth or produce no fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. So if you're a Christian, guess what? You're going to get cut. You're going to get pruned. Is that right? Well, if you're a good boy and doing what he says, is he going to prune you? He said he did. If you don't produce fruit, what's he going to do to you? He's going to cut you off. Now see, very few people read that like it's written. When I say, you know, if you don't obey God and don't produce fruit, there'll come a day when he'll kill you. Oh, my goodness gracious. Nobody wants to hear that. But is that what that said? That is what that said. If you do not bear fruit, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes it away. In other words, he cuts it off. And I've seen several men, I don't think I've ever yet had a woman, but I've had several men that quit producing fruit, men that were either pastors or youth leaders or song leaders or Sunday school teachers or whatever, that by the time they got to be 40 or 50 years old, they decided that, you know, they don't want to really be that active in the church no more. You know, I mean, I want, when I retire at 65, you know, I want to take a motor home and I want to travel across the country. I've made my money and I got plenty of money to bank, so it's not necessary for me to be a teacher of the word no more. I'll just go do what I want to do, and we'll put God on the back burner. And 10 years, you're dead. You know, 55, 60 years old, you die because you quit producing fruit. Did God plan for you to stop producing fruit for his kingdom? No, we're supposed to produce fruit the rest of our life, ladies and gentlemen, as sons and daughters of God. Then next verse, the first three. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Next verse. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. So if we're not in the word, we're not reading the word, studying the word, hiding the word in our heart, just like this young boy Alex did a while ago. Isn't it amazing that that young boy didn't ask how old is nine. He's 9 years old. And he quoted every book of the Old and New Testament. Isn't that a good something to do? I just stand in awe that the young people that have put that effort together to be able to stand up here before all of you. When I was 9 years old, I don't care. I couldn't have stood up here at nine and said that. When I turned around and looked at you, I'd have just said, I can't do this. But he did, and he did a good job. You know, I remember the first time I turned and said before 200 people in a congregation, when I became deacon of the week, the first time I'd ever been the deacon of the week, set up on the platform with the pastor, when I come to make the announcements, I reached out, I got the announcements, and I looked up and I saw about 200 people sitting out there, and all of a sudden I'm glad I was behind the podium, because if you hadn't, you'd have seen my legs shaking like this. I was scared. You know, I'd never done anything like that in my life. I was not raised up doing those kind of things. But we need to raise up our young people to be able to do what that young boy is doing, so that not only can he do what he's doing at nine, but by the time he's 12 or 15, he ought to be standing up here preaching and telling you a whole book of the Bible, quoting it. Isn't that something? Just like Kathy's little Caitlin the other day. She quoted about three chapters of the book of John, didn't she? Right here. So, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So if we have no word in us, what can we do? Nothing. If we got a lot of the word hidden in our heart, what can we do? Much, we can produce much fruit. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I don't even want to think about that, do you? Do you want to take a chance of being thrown into the lake of fire and be burned? No, I don't either. I think we can forget that. I mean, I think about this alternative to being a Christian, and man, there ain't nothing that's anything I like out there. Verse 7. Look at verse 7. Look at that word if again. Now here again, if we walk in this love walk and do what he says, here again is the promises that he made us. If you abide in me, in other words, if you and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. So what kind of limitations, if we walk in obedience to God's word, we walk in this love walk, we do what he says, we hide his word in our heart so we can quote the word. I mean, over and over, we study and read and research and hide these things in our heart. According to that verse, one day when you need something, what can you do? Yeah. fact, I was, it all depends. I was talking to a man this last week. He used to be a Marine, and he was a fighter pilot. And, of course, what we were talking about, God's Word, and I'm telling him how God's Word, you must obey the rules in God's Word. You can't just do it partially. You have to obey it. In fact, I looked at him and I said, you know, I know you used to fly airplanes, you know, fighter airplanes in the Marines. I said, you know, did you fly that airplane according to the book? He said, you know, it's strange that you would make that statement. But he said, one time I took a major out for a ride. Now, in the back seat, he was riding in the back seat. The front seat of a four, a Phantom, it has the controls. The back seat, it's just a radar place. But anyway, this major, this guy was a captain, and he was going to take the major for a ride. And he said, I had been doing some dogfighting, and I was learning how to do things. But it says, at certain things I'd learned how to do, I could really come in quick and fall in under my wingman out there, and I could get him. And he said, I kept making these cross-control maneuvers to make this happen. And it clearly says right there on the airplane, do not cross-control this airplane. You know, kind of like the Word of God when it says, do not commit sin, right? But, you know, we don't pay any attention, do we? So here he is at 30,000 feet, and he's flying up there, and he's fighting with this other guy. They're having a little training episode. And he goes to make this turn so he can slip in under the guy. He stretches the envelope just a little and goes beyond the limit of the airplane and cross controls. And he said when he did, immediately the airplane at 30,000 feet just flopped upside down and went to spinning like a cork. He said it felt like I had a 500-pound whale on my shoulder. I could not get to the nothing. I couldn't reach the controls. I'm just pushed over to the side. And he said, I started crying out, Lord, I got to have some help. See, praise God, he was a man of God. The Lord spoke to him and told him to take his two fingers and trip the drag chute. He said, I finally got my hands up there and I tripped that drag chute. And said, when I did, the drag chute come out. And he said, because I was spinning, it streamered and it wouldn't fill up. And he said, I said, oh, God, I'm looking at three mirrors that's showing this thing streamered, and as I'm going around in a circle, upside down. And he says, oh, Lord, I got to have some more help. And he said, the Lord told me exactly what to do. And he said, I did it. He said, when I did it, that little chute popped out, and it hooked that thing, and it jerked it straight out, and all of a sudden the airplane come to an abrupt stop as that drag chute come out. Now the airplane stood upside down, pointed straight down. I look at the altimeter, it says 11,600 feet, and I know clearly well that the book says if you're going straight down at 250 knots, it takes 10,000 feet to recover. He said, I got 11,600. He ain't got much of a leeway. He's doing everything he can to recover. And he said, when I finally recover, I am 700 feet off the deck of the ocean. I said, I asked him a question. I said, did you learn anything that day? He said, that's what my colonel asked me when I got back. He said, the guy that was riding in the back said he wanted me fired. That major said, you're the biggest idiot I ever saw in my life. He got back, told my colonel, said, that man will never fly another Phantom. Fire him. Kick him out of the Marines. He said, he nearly killed me out there today. But he said, Thurman, I never thought about the Word of God being just like the owner's manual for that airplane till today. But he said, today I now know. He said, I read something in Proverbs the other night. It said, men, do not go down to the house of the prostitute. It will lead to death and hell. He said, I know God means that now, doesn't he? I said, yes, he does. But I said, the Word of God means exactly what it says. It's an owner's manual, is it not? Yes. So if God told his children to walk in love, what did he mean for you and me to do? You think he ought to do that? I know we should, don't you? If God, just think of the promises that God gives us if we'll walk in love. Are these promises out of this world? Look at that. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. What's the requirement to get that to happen? Abiding in him and walking in his love. Is that right? Walk in love. Now then, if you're a Christian today, I'm going to ask you to make God a commitment this week. If you're a Christian, If you're not a Christian, I would like for you to come to know Jesus before you leave here today. But if you don't know Jesus, that's my first challenge for you, is to make sure that before you leave here today, you do know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have confessed Him with your mouth and you believe with your heart that He died and rose again for you. And that's the beginning of this whole thing. And I want you to make it a venture. I want you to say, Lord, I want You to show me how to walk in love. I want to walk in love with everybody. I want to walk in love with, like Dave, his mother-in-law, which is now deceased. But Dave, all those years after that, Dave walked in love with his mother-in-law. And how much better did it make life when they all could walk in love? You know, when they were all here, many times that she came here and visited, and she would be in there with the children, and I never heard a cross word with nobody. Is that the way we're supposed to walk? In love. I don't care what anybody says. If you want to win somebody to Jesus, if they're not good to you, you just return what they did in love. Is that right? Don't ever get out of your love walk. Walk in love. Because the Master can't lie, can He? If He tells us to walk in love, then what should we do? Walk in love. Wow. Is this an easy thing to do? It should be, but it's not. You can get out of your love walk so easy, can you not? You can be having a great day, and all of a sudden somebody can make one little statement, and you can be plumb off into oblivion. I know, because we're humans. I say, I know. Maybe the rest of y'all are not like me, but I know what I could do. I could step out of that love walk in a heartbeat, and then I can be sick too, and I don't like that. So I'm going to ask the Lord to help me, and it's just like I'm going to ask Him to help you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask You to reveal Yourself to us in a mighty way. Lord, You're the one told us what to do. You're the one that told us under the new covenant, if we would walk in love, that we could literally come to You and ask for anything. And Lord, I know that's true. I've seen You do those things. I've seen You do those things over and over for many people. I've seen You do many miracles and healings. And Lord, I want to increase my ability to do things. I want You to increase that. I want to walk in a greater love walk with everybody. Everybody, Lord. And I want to see You do greater and mightier things. Father, thank You for Your word, what You tell us what to do and what You'll do if we do what You say. Thank You for sending the mighty Holy Spirit. Thank You for teaching us. We thank You for showing us how to walk in love. And then, Lord, we thank You for the mighty signs and miracles and wonders that You will perform because we obey You and do what You say. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.